Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Today's May 4th, 2025. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, as I'm sure if you're familiar with the book of Acts, taught God's word for a number of years in the school of Tyrannus there in Ephesus. And of course, in the Gospels, Jesus Christ taught in so many different settings, on the seashore, in a boat, in a mountain, on the road, in synagogues, in houses, one-on-one, of course. We are meeting again this morning in a house. There's a number of verses that indicate that in the first century, believers gathered together in houses. And at times, you know, we meet in larger settings, bigger meetings, conferences, camps. But for the most part, we, like many other folks around the world, meet in the home. It's called home church, or church in the home, or home fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, it says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." And I think you know today there are a lot of different meanings for the word church. You know, there's a church building over there. There's a, you know, different denominations, the Baptist church. But the Greek word that's translated church in the New Testament basically means called out. A group called out together or assembled together. So technically, if you were using that Greek word, a bowling league that gathered together at the bowling alley would be a church called out. Ekklesia is the Greek word there. But in the New Testament, that Greek word church many times refers to the whole body, all of the born-again believers. And then in other places, like what we just read here in 1 Corinthians 16, it refers to believers meeting there in Aquila and Priscilla's house. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with meeting in a big church building. Although, like many churches in the home, we don't have a big production. You know, we don't have 40 people in a choir and entertainment and lots of stuff going on. Our focal point, as you know, is to gain a greater understanding of the scriptures. And if that happens in bigger places, hallelujah. But our focus here in the home church is to get a greater understanding of the Bible. And sometimes many of the benefits of meeting in a smaller setting can be lost in a larger setting. Obviously, what we do here is more personal. We know each other. We all know each other. There's greater participation available. You know, make it available. Whoever wants to pray can pray. Hard to do that if you're in a group of 500 or 5,000. You know, you'd be there till Tuesday, maybe. Being together lends itself to a more family atmosphere in the home. We can comfortably fellowship and minister to one another afterwards. Aquila and Priscilla opened up their home. They had a church in their house. Go to Acts 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. Church in the home. Where were we? We were at lunch one time and with some of the neighbors. They gather on the first Monday of the month. And we've been a couple of times just checking to see if anybody's got some spiritual hunger. But we're talking to this lady across from us. You know her, Rosie. And she was talking about, I don't know, some big church where she said she just kind of felt lost and all that. I said, "Well, you should come to my church." She goes, "Where is it?" I said, "It's in my house." "In your house?" I said, "Yeah, it's in the house. Church in the home. Come check us out." Acts 20:20. Paul had leadership together and said in verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So Paul not only taught God's word at the school of Tyrannus and, you know, in another place by the river and in synagogues and in the marketplace, but he also taught them house to house. Church in the home. In having the church meet in my home here in Arizona for 30-some years, there have been many, many people through the years. If everyone who ever came were here this morning, we wouldn't be able to be in this setting. We'd have to be in a much bigger setting. Some people have moved out of state. Some have decided to not attend. Some come for a short time. Once, twice, five times. At times there were families with children, different ages. I remember when Carly was, she was like four, I think, the first time came with you, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Through it all, though, I'm blessed to continue to teach God's word and have church in the home. And at the present time, it's kind of obvious that most of us in this church are getting older. Younger people may or may not show up. Glad you're here, Victor. You make us feel young. So, you know, younger people, families may show up, may not, and that's okay. That's fine. This is our church. You know, back in the day with Dr. Werwell, when he was, I don't know, 55, close to 60 or whatever, God told him to go to San Francisco, where the hippies were. Haight-Ashbury. And so here's this 55, 60-year-old straight-laced, skinny-tie Bible minister going out there meeting with the hippies. Some of those hippies were very hungry for God's word. And a number of them went to Ohio. From what I heard, some of them just like to sleep in tents. But after a while, you know, they, as young as they were, I mean, imagine when you were 18, people that were 55 or 60 were old folks. But as young as they were, they soon saw the benefit of fellowshipping with older Christians. So today in this church, even though we're mostly older Christians, that's okay. Because this is our church. This is our church. And age doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter. This is our church. Each of us in this church is important to God. And each of us is needed in our church. And each of us, myself included, we can continue to grow in our love and care one for another. You know, at 1 Thessalonians, God, by way of Paul, praised them for the love they had and also said, increase, increase in that love. You know, God instructs us to have the same care one for another, that we should be especially good to the household. So go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is the starting point for born-again believers. It's the foundational beginning of God's word, the gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ. And Romans 12 begins the practical application of the great doctrine that preceded it. The reproof we find in Corinthians and the correction we find in Galatians. And as we read some very familiar verses this morning, let's consider them in light of our church. Let's consider applying them in light of our church. So we do a lot of reading. I'm not going to do a whole lot of expounding. But these are familiar, and let's read some this morning. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, I lovingly implore, I beg you, therefore, and the therefore is because of Everything we just learned in the beginning of Romans. All that God has done for us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. We were born again to serve. Be not conformed to this world. And a better translation is, don't be fashioned by this age. So important. But instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meaning putting into your mind that which God has made you to be. Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man, every woman that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, every woman, the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, if that's what you're very proficient in, well, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, according to the proportion of your own believing. Or ministry, well, let us wait on our ministering. And again, that would be according to the proportion of your believing. Or he that teaches, get busy teaching. Or he that exhorts, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Not all services or functions are mentioned, but what is written about the few would be equally true for those that are not mentioned. Basically, what God is saying, serve by what you do best. Serve by doing what you do best. The body of Christ, born-again believers, and specifically the believers in our church, profit from the contribution of each and every member as we all walk in loving service. Keep a marker here. Let's look at Ephesians 4. We're coming right back to Romans 12, but this verse in Ephesians 4 just speaks really loudly about what we just read. We all have different talents, abilities, long suits. We're all individuals. We all have different personalities, but we're part of one body and we need each other. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying building up of itself in love. Love. All godly service, true godly service, is based in the love of God. Without the love of God, it's not godly service. Might be activities, might be wonderful, but it's not godly service. So back to Romans chapter 12, we'll continue reading. So after God gave us all that information, now here's conduct, individual conduct. Here's how we live our lives. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy, two-faced. Hi, God bless you. Great to see you. Oh, what a jackass he is. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Preferring who? One another. Preferring one another. Our preference is God's people, believers, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Oh, no, really? Bless and curse not. Okay. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Somebody's hurting, you know, we're hurting. Somebody's rejoicing and something great happened to them, we're not like, oh, gee, lucky. They're always. Something happens that's great for Dave, I'm blessed, I'm happy, yay. You know, somebody else going through a tough time, you know, have empathy, have concern, pray. Bless them that curse you. Where were we? Okay. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Get off your high horse. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't need to. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's a beautiful Orientalism, and if you don't know what that means, ask me afterwards, I'll explain it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So this section began with God telling us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which was our reasonable or logical service. We're then told to not be fashioned by this age, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then God also said that even though there are many members, all members don't have the same office, the same function. God's just telling us, get busy doing what you do. And then beginning with love, information about our conduct. Chapter 13 goes on and first talks about God's ministers and the proper conduct regarding them. And if you go to verse 8 in chapter 13 of Romans, 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. But when you think back, Jesus Christ really said that a lot, didn't he? Especially at the Last Supper, love one another, love each other. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love works no ill. And that includes judging, criticizing, gossiping. We're to love without hypocrisy. And chapter 14, among other things, repeatedly talks about not judging or being critical. And I wrote this note this morning just as a sidebar put in here because, you know, when it comes to judging, being critical, remember what it says in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? Who is he that condemns? Christ that died, rather is risen, seated at the right hand of God, makes intercession for us? You know, there's a lot in Romans 14. We're not going to read it, but there's a lot in Romans 14 about not judging. In fact, one of the verses says, who are you to judge? What are you doing? In our culture, many people, including Christians, buy into the victim mentality. And those who do, and you've probably noticed this, they're very critical and judgmental. where they are in their life is because of someone else. You know, people don't like the color of my skin. The government is just totally messing up my life. My childhood was so bad. Now, I bring this up in the context of where we're at in this section in Romans as far as not judging and being critical and condemning. And I bring that up because I ran into this again this week. An adult raised by Christian parents, but their, quote, strict religious upbringing, it was harmful to their inner child. So I looked up inner child, and do you know how many times inner child is in the Bible?
Zero.
Zero. But there are adult Christians who speak ill to their parents regarding their childhood. It's a thing. It's a thing. It's really being fashioned by the philosophies of our age. Really, that's really all it is. And you know what? It's so contrary to the scriptures. Anybody remember the fourth commandment? Honor thy father and thy mother. Yeah, that's Old Testament. We're not under the law anymore. Correct. We're not. But what did we just read in Romans 13? Love is the fulfilling of all the law, isn't it? Sure. And if it's so Old Testament, why did God decide to have Paul include that in Ephesians, where it talks about honor your father and mother? And why is it included? I think it's in the in Timothy, about how we are to treat older Christians, elders. So, anyway, for those who fall into that victim mentality, sometimes it's hard to help them, but we can try. But my question to those who are in that mode of victim mentality, my question is, where is your God? Does God not exist anymore? Are his promises not true? They are. And you've probably noticed this too. Over the years, I've seen that people who are critical and judgmental are either very unthankful to God or allowing pride to rule their lives, or sometimes both. So, anyway, little sidebar. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. And if you like, sometime this week you could read chapter 14 of Romans, where it talks about stop judging your brothers and sisters. Stop it. Because God doesn't want us to judge or be critical or gossip. God would have us to love and edify, build up one another. And whether it's in this, our church, or wherever we are, we should seek to love and build up, edify. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." And I think you know that chapters 12, 13, and 14, this section is about spiritual matters. It's really an important section in scriptures. We look at it a little bit in the foundational Walking in God's Power class, really take a big dive in the intermediate, and then it even comes up for us in study in the advanced class. It's a very important section. Chapter 12 talks about different functions, then the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and then what we're going to read, how the body, the born-again ones, work together, because each and every member in the body of Christ is important and needed. And that applies in our church. Each and every person is important and needed. Verse 14, God is going to first address those who think they have little or nothing to contribute. Those who say, I'm just not important. So chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, oh, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. You belong. You are unique and important. Whatever your long suit is, whatever it is that you do really well, whatever it is that comes easy for you, no matter how small or insignificant it is, or how small or insignificant it seems to you, this isn't a big deal. Some people can smile and just so bless you without even saying anything. Some people just have the warmest, loving smile. I take horrible pictures because I try to smile in photos and I'm just like, Some people are just great at praying. They're just, you ask them to pray, they will take the time, shut everything down, get quiet, and pray, without distractions. Some people are really good listeners. A lot of times when people are listening, they're thinking of what they're going to say next as soon as you take a breath. But some people are just locked in, listeners. What a blessing that is. Some people are like, they just run to help. What do you need? I'll be there. I'll be there in 5 minutes. No, four. I'm out the door. Some people are really good at giving. They just give. Some people are great organizers. Some people are great fixers. It really doesn't matter. It's your service is needed in your church, our church. So next part of this illustration, we begin in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I don't need you. Nor again the head to the foot, I don't have any need of you. No. Nay. Much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts, that which looks really nice on the outside, looks like everything's together, our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, division. And look at this, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Everyone's important. We all need each other. And we're supposed to take care of one another, have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Is that what we read in Romans? Right? Sure it is. That's why this is the reproof. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are necessary, you are needed, and it doesn't matter if you think you're not, because God said you are. So we had to quit arguing with God. If someone really wants to be spiritual in their walk with God, this section, 12, 13, and 14, is all about spiritual matters, right? And as you know, chapter 14 is about the proper operation of the utterance manifestations. We're not going to read that, but right in between 12 and 14, God put this section about the love of God. You know, we're all individuals, different personalities, different abilities, different skills, different backgrounds, different cultures, different levels of maturity in the Word. But the bottom line for all of us is whatever we do, it should be done with the love of God. That's what God would have us do. So let's read chapter 13. And after we read that, we'll close in Galatians. But chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and that's, I think you know, the Greek word agape, it means the love of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not the love of God, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all believing so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I just give everything I got away. And though I give my body to be burned, that means you just burn out helping people. You know, you're 23 hours a day. Give my body to be burned. And have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. Look at the emphasis God is putting on the love of God. Oh, you speak in tongues and all, you haven't got love? Oh, you're the greatest giver in the world and you don't have the love of God? Where are we at? Verse 4. The love of God suffers long. Oh my goodness. You know, it kind of means we put up with people. Good thing God suffers long. So many of these qualities that God's now going to share are qualities of God. The love of God suffers long and is kind. The love of God envies not. The love of God vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Get off the high horse. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Okay. Rejoices not in iniquity, serves him right. I knew that was going to happen. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The love of God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. Right now we know in part. And we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when Christ returns, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is the love of God. The greatest. How big is believing? That's pretty big, isn't it? How big's the hope? Oh my goodness, we talk about the hope every day. Today could be the day. Jesus Christ is coming back. We're going into the clouds. How big is the hope? It's huge. The greatest of these, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So we close in Galatians 5. Love's a super big deal, isn't it? Galatians 5. So we read the doctrine in Romans, and we read correction in Corinthians, or reproof in Corinthians, and now we're going to look at a little bit of correction in Galatians. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Yes, we have such great freedom in Christ. Yes, we're not under the Old Testament law. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There it is again. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. That's what we read in Romans, right? For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, or walk by means of the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. By love, serve one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Love. Don't be judging one another. Love. Walk by means of the Spirit. Love. Now, we were looking at these scriptures in light of applying them right here in our church. And of course, I'm not saying that we only love and serve folks in this church. Of course, we all have other believers that we know that we can bless and edify and love. You know, and perhaps there are friends, acquaintances, family members that we can endeavor to share God's word with and love and edify them. But don't forget about your church. This is our church. And for you folks that are out of town and dial in, sometimes folks dial in once in a while, sometimes folks all the time. We have folks from a lot of places. Down in Tucson, Alaska, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Ohio, a number of places. We love you. We thank God for you. We pray for you. And at times you let us know things that we could pray about. So we're very thankful that you pray for us as well. Some of you are also part of a church in your area as well. But we're blessed that you can join us and sing along with us. Prayer manifest once in a while. We wish you were here in person. Sometimes you are. Sometimes you visit. So God bless you. We love you. And at times people who are in our church here, under the weather, they have the ability to dial in and be with us that way. Over the last couple of years, I have seen that the love in this church has grown. Love for each other over the last couple of years. It really has. And so we can continue to grow in our love for each other. And I would say that, you know, God's word says we all need each other. And I would say, especially here in this church, as we all keep getting older, we need each other. And I mentioned earlier in Thessalonians that God praised them for their love for one another, and he said, increase in that. But all of us in this church, myself included, we can look for ways to increase our love and care for one another. We can reach out and bless and serve one another. You're like, Missy picked up Kevin today because Kevin can't drive and ride and get here. So what a loving thing to do. Or someone may just go visit Kevin and have lunch with him in the cafeteria. That'd be something nice. We can check on people. Hey, how's it going? God bless. Was just thinking about you. We can pray for people. Ask God, is there somebody I should pray for today? It's a good thing to do is ask God. The bottom line is that we love one another. And this is our church. Might be a lot of people one day, might be smaller another day, might be older, younger, little kids, big kids, doesn't matter. This is us today. And let's continue to increase in our love and service for one another. So Father, thank you for your wonderful salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ and putting us all in this one body with Jesus Christ as the head of the body. And Father, thank you for reminding us so many times to love one another. And thank you, Father, for the joy it is to be part of this great, big, wonderful family. And what a joy it is, Father, for us to be able to fellowship in this home. And I thank you for the privilege of hosting the fellowship. I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. And I thank you, Father, for each and every person, whether they're here in person or whether they're on the phone hookup, we're just so blessed to be a part of your wonderful family. And God, we certainly look forward to the day you send Jesus Christ back to come and get us. Until then, may we continue to grow in our love and care one for another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.